Welcome to the Harmonia Early Music Podcast. I'm Janelle Davis. Gaspard Leroux is one of those composers whose music looms large but whose life remains in the shadows. While there are sources for a few miscellaneous vocal pieces, an air and a motet, for example, Leroux's entire legacy is built on his Pièce du Clavecin of 1705, his only published collection. As far as we can tell, Leroux died in Paris just 2 years after they came out, and he probably died young, as the first time he shows up in the history books is in the March 1690 issue of the Mercure de France, which mentions Leroux as a teacher. Aside from his teaching, we know from Leroux's taxes that he also earned money as an organist, though in what capacity, it remains uncertain. The French composer's music falls squarely between earlier French keyboard giants like Chambonnier, Louis Couperin, and Dangobert, and the established 18th century harpsichord composers such as François Couperin and Jean-Philippe Rameau. Gaspard Leroux was in many ways an innovator, as we'll see in a moment, while at the same time he held on to the older styles. For example, there are several preludes in Leroux's collections composed in the old unmeasured style championed by Louis Couperin. The preludes are only notated in whole notes with some slurs to outline the harmonic patterns. From this, a performer freely improvises rhythm and meter in his or her own interpretation. We hear the hallmark of this kind of notation, the so-called style brisé, or broken style, also called lute style, in the opening track of a new recording from harpsichordist Peter Jan Velder and Ziba Henstra of the complete harpsichord music of Gaspard Leroux. The style brisé is characterized by an arpeggiation of chords with irregular distribution of individual notes, that is, no notes are to be played simultaneously. It's enormous fun to listen to unmeasured preludes while following along with the notes in the score, as you really get a sense of a performer's individual style. We'll post a link on our website if you would like to look on while you listen. An unmeasured prelude by Gaspard Leroux from his 1705 Pièce du Clavecin. The pieces were published in Paris as well in Amsterdam by Etienne Roger. There were also some handwritten copies of the suites floating around in Germany, and it seems likely that they made their way to Johann Sebastian Bach. It's hard not to think that Bach knew these pieces when you hear the first prelude of Bach's English suites alongside Leroux's A Major Gigue. Let's listen. Here's Leroux's Gigue. Now listen to the beginning of Bach's first prelude. This is from a recording by the late harpsichordist Christiane Jacotet. The two pieces are very different, of course, but there's enough the same to make one think that Bach probably had a thing for Le Rouge harpsichord pieces. Here's a bit of Le Rouge jig again. Let's stick with this little Le Rouge jig a little bit longer. It is actually played two times on this recording, once as we've just heard as a solo harpsichord work, and then again as a harpsichord duet. Harpsichordists Peter Jan Velder and Ziba Henstra take advantage of Le Rouge's indication in his preface and the examples in his score that his Pièce du Clavecin can not only be performed by a solo harpsichord, but also as a harpsichord duo using the additionally printed second treble line and continuo figures in the bass. Why the alternate versions, and what might Le Rouge have had in mind? While in actual practice, expanding solo music to chamber music may well have been something pretty commonplace, Le Rouge's are the first to notate it so specifically. For their part, the performers in their liner note offer a pleasant picture. Imagine two middle-aged men enjoying a glass of wine and a cigar and playing two beautiful harpsichords instead of playing chess or discussing life. Well, let's listen in on these two once more as a harpsichord duet. To my knowledge, there are already a couple recordings of these pieces in their alternate duo versions. Mitzi Meyerson and Lisa Good Crawford have made a disc. Another harpsichord pair, Glenn Wilson and Naoko Akutagawa, also have a recording from 2006. In his preface, Le Rouge outlines two other performance options. Besides harpsichord duet, his Pièce du Clavecin can also be performed as trios for two melody instruments and basso continuo, with flutes, oboes, or violins, for example. Or, a final option, and this is surely a practice suggestion, the harpsichordist can play an accompaniment from the figured bass and sing the top-line melody of the trio score. Without question, Le Rouge's Tour de Force is his saraband from the set of pieces in G minor. Like Corelli's famous La Folia variations, listeners are treated to couplet after couplet of Le Rouge's invention and imagination in this extended 13-minute piece. I know skipping to the end is a bit like reading the last page of a novel first, but here are the final bits of the saraband, performed solo by Ziba Henstra. Thank you. hope you've enjoyed this look into the life and music of Gaspar Lauro. If you would like to know more about the performances featured on today's podcast, please visit us at harmoniaearlymusic.org. This has been the Harmonia Early Music Podcast. I'm Janelle Davis. Thanks for listening.